Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Today is June 18th, and my name is Thayla Cherry. I am a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Beta Omega Chapter in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm here today with Mabel Ramey Moore, Golden Member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority, Incorporated, Beta Omega Chapter, Kansas City, Missouri. The title Golden means Mabel has met 50-year milestone of membership in the sorority. We are here today to learn more about her story. As a woman of our illustrious Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, Mabel, let's begin with you telling something about your beginning. Where and when were you born?
I was born August 29th, 1952, in a very small community in Arkansas, Wilmot, Arkansas.
Wow, Wilmot, Arkansas. Tell us about your family and your growing up.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I am from a huge family. On my mother's side, there was 11 of us. On my dad's side, of course, I have an older sister. So there's a 15 of us.
Wow.
Oh, there was. I do have some deceased siblings. But I am the oldest daughter on my mom's side, and I'm the fifth, because I have four older brothers, fifth of 11 children.
Amazing.
Born to my mom and my dad.
What were your parents' names?
My mom's name is Mabel, or was Mabel Smith, Mabel Lee Smith Ramey, and my dad's name was Buford Ramey Sr.
Wow. Can you tell us more about your journey in growing up and what that was like to grow up in a large family of that size?
Large family, small town, small community. Everybody knew everybody, mostly in that small community. People were mostly related. But, you know, in the words of Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. I mean, back then, it really was a village that raised families, because when one member, you know, one family, I mean, we were just accountable to everybody, to the entire community. So it really and truly did fit the definition of it takes a village.
Were there other relatives, like your grandparents, that lived close in the proximity of where you grew up?
My paternal grandmother lived she lived in the same small community. My maternal grandmother lived about 100 miles away in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, where the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff resides. So both my grandfathers, both on my mom's side and my dad's side, were deceased when I was born. So I never got to know them, but I knew my granny. We called her Mon Ramey. My grandmother died at about age 92, 93. So she lived a long, long life on my dad's side, my paternal. But my maternal grandmother died, I guess I was in 1961. So I was barely a teenager.
So how would your siblings describe you?
Oh, gosh. They describe me as the wannabe mama in the family, because when you come from a large family like that, like I came from in a small community, I mean, everybody had to be responsible for everybody in terms of, you know, but the siblings had to be responsible for siblings. So everybody, mom and dad both worked, and so everybody did their part, their share. So it's like I took on a couple of siblings to make sure that they were okay. My other brothers did the same thing. So, but I was kind of like the the navigator, and so kind of like the I won't say the boss, but they did call me bossy. So,
Do you think those characteristics play a large part in your career journey? So tell us a little bit about like where you went to college and then your chosen profession. Do you think there was some correlation to that?
I'm going to tell you why I chose my profession. As I said, I graduated from a small school. My graduating class had 33 graduates. So they're very small high school, very small community, but I had a high school teacher. Her name was Mrs. Albertine Vaughn. She taught the business classes. I love the business classes, and she made it very, very interesting, and I just fell in love with accounting, and it just seems like it came easy for me. So there was no question when I went to college, and I went to college 100 miles away, because Pine Bluff was only 100 miles away from north of my hometown. So I went to school. At the time that I began college, it was Arkansas AM&N College, which is Agricultural, Mechanical, and Normal. So my first year there, it started to transition over to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. So by the time my freshman year ended and my sophomore year began, we were fully University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. So we, as an alumni of that chapter, of that high school, of that college rather, we always say AM&N/UAPB. I mean, that's how I refer to it. But I majored in accounting while at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. Loved all of my business classes, loved all of my classes really. Did very well. But at the end of my sophomore year, because I came from a large family and I wanted to help, you know, support not only myself, but whatever I could do for the family, I started co-oping at the end of my sophomore year. So I co-oped with General Motors at GMAD, General Motors Assembly Division, Leeds Plant in Kansas City. That's where I kind of started. And I did that for 2 years until I graduated. And while I was on those last 2 years of my college career, I also went to school in Kansas City, first at Rockhurst University, and then I later, after I graduated from AM&N, Arkansas AM&N, UAPB, I did my master's work at UMKC. So all while, I guess I was still working. I mean, because on a co-op program, you work one semester, go to school a semester, you know, and just do that until you just alternate until you finish. But then by that time, you've had a great opportunity to look at the company, to see if that's where you wanted to, if you had interest in residing there, or if you wanted to, you know, navigate and move on. But as it stood, I did end up working for the GMAD, General Motors Assembly Division, Leeds Plant. And I worked there in their accounting department for a number of years. But I also, so GMAD Leeds is an assembly plant. We built cars. The Chevrolet Monte Carlo was one that I remember, but several others. But anyway, I worked at the Leeds plant for 14 and a half years. But during my career there, I transitioned from accounting out into the production area. And so I led a team of statistical process control. I led that group for several years. And so I had a great opportunity to interact with the assembly part of the business and doing so, that was a strong union organization. So had an opportunity to work with union leaders and matter of fact, we built a really, really good working rapport with the union and the statistical process control organization. And back then, if, you know, anything new when it comes to trying to build and build quality into the automobiles, the union was, they could be resistant. But because we did establish such a good relationship, we worked well with, you know, with the union in implementing statistical process control to help the quality of our cards.
You've shared many common themes. You share the common theme of unity within your community, very small community where everyone supported each other. Then you chose to go to Historical Black College and University, which also has the same culture and just connectivity, just really helping each other. So then fast forward, or maybe go backwards a little bit in your history around when you became a member of the Alpha Kappa Alpha sorority, which has the same kind of thread as the two other pieces that you shared. Mm-hmm.
And actually, that is true, because when I think about the unity and the relationship, I pledged in 1972, the spring of 1972. There were nine ladies on our line, and we were called the Electrifying Nine. And so, and really, we built we were just close-knit. And as it stands now, there's a sorority sister from my line that lives in Leavenworth, and so we are still close. We keep in contact. We often go back to homecoming together or at the same time. And so we just established some friendships and some threads that were, you know, that stayed strong over the years.
What led you to make the decision to actually join the sorority?
A lot of my friends were kind of navigating in that direction. And as I said, the friend that lives in Leavenworth now was one of my close friends. And so at the time, it was like the last semester of my sophomore year, we decided to go, you know, let's do this. And so we did.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. What offices or titles have you held within Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. You know, at about the same time, okay, so I pledged the spring of 1972 and then immediately went off to the co-op program. So I didn't really get to do a lot of, I was on campus one semester and, you know, back at work the next semester. So I didn't get a chance to really do a lot of hold offices, you know, in the undergrad in Alpha Rho. But after coming to Kansas City and getting acquainted with Beta Omega chapter, I did join that chapter, and I've held at least I've held Tamioka's position, back a while ago, and now more recently, I'm currently Tamioka's again. I probably held some other positions that doesn't really come to mind right now, but I know that, you know, in doing debutante balls, we were all, you know, everybody works in all parts of the organization. But, you know, whenever we do have the debutante ball and it's our year to sponsor, everybody gets involved. So I know I've at least been chairman of screening and awards, and you know, as well as some other chairmanships during the course of debutante ball. But I'd say the biggest office, probably the only office I've held, I think, is Tamioka's.
Thanks.
And so when asked if I had a desire to become bachelor's, I go, I think I will pass that one along. So,
So in what other ways has Alpha Kappa Alpha impacted your life?
Oh, the sisterhood, the camaraderie. I mean, but there's always a close knit when it comes to sisterhood. And so I guess our sisters become, you're friends anyway, but you're sisters, and so you learned to, or you navigate to a close knit bond. And so it's just been a good sisterly experience.
Tell us how Alpha Kappa Alpha has also influenced your career, or the influences or decisions that you made along that journey.
Well, because we have high standards, in AKA, and I know a common theme over the last 4 years has been exemplifying excellence, and so excellence in whatever we do and in all phases of our lives, not just in Alpha Kappa Alpha, but that transitions over to everything that you do. Because when you represent AKA, you want to be, you know, you're gonna represent yourself well in all that you do in other organizations. And so just always inspire the excellence in our career as well, you know, as our sisterhood.
That's excellent. I love that. What's your most memorable moment through your AKA experience?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I have two sons, so never didn't have the opportunity to have a legacy. my oldest son has four girls, and so the oldest one chose not to become a debutante, and she's already, you know, almost 21. But the my 15-year-old that's coming along now she's already being groomed. and so is the 12-year-old, and of course the 6-year-old. So I'm just so looking forward to being able to have granddaughter legacies that come along. But that's still in, you know, several years away. So I always look forward to debutante ball season and just watch the young ladies as they go through the deb ball season, and it's just amazing to watch them transition from, you know, initially coming in, but they're all talented, very smart young ladies, and so it's just exciting watching them grow, build, and even you know, just go beyond things that and talents that they thought that, you know, they ever thought they had. But it's amazing to watch them work together and grow together during that dead ball season, and that's the thing that that's most memorable, you know, for me.
On a personal level, I've always seen you demonstrate excellence, and I've known you for some years and some time. What have been some of your moments that you've contributed to service throughout the Kansas City community or just other communities that you really feel helped to transcend those communities and kind of as a change agent?
I guess in everything that we do, we inspire growth. And when I look back at the community that I came from, coming to Kansas City, it's just a lot much larger community on a larger scale. I just always believe in getting in whatever I do, getting into an organization, contributing, and making sure that whatever we, you know, the task is ahead of us, that we're going to exceed standards, that we're going to go above and beyond. And so I just always look forward to, you know, just taking on. And I look back when I took on the position as Statistical Process Control Division Manager. Just the things that we were able to accomplish within that industry, not only locally, but you know, you also interact with other divisions from other areas, and so you build, you know, you hear in, you build relationships, but you also build a bridge or a channel that you can work across. And so you're always able to, you know, I've always been able to work across channels, across bridges, across organizations, you know, helping to make whatever, you know, tasks we have in front of us, make sure that we meet the standards, exceed, and then go above and beyond.
Excellent. You shared a great deal about within the co-op and when that career transition as it was in your career path. I'd love to hear more about the rest of your career and where that journey took you.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So it took me from an accounting student to working in the environment of accounting, but it also gave me the opportunity to look at other areas. And so when I had that opportunity to do so, I thought I was going to transition into the HR area, but instead ended up transitioning in more into the production area, into production management. I worked not only there, but I worked in other areas in accounting in other organizations. But I've always maintained that business relationship or that business interest. And so I've pretty much remained on the business side of the career, not only from General Motors, but also I worked for American Cablevision for a while, which was part of Time Warner organization, in the business and accounting area. I've also worked in the school district of Kansas City, Missouri for just a small stint as a contract worker, but here again, contributing to accounting, budgeting, managerial side of the of business. Finally, the last large stint of work had to do with the city of Kansas City, Missouri, working in the water department mostly, but also in the business and accounting and finance management of those organizations as well.
So curious to learn, being a person, a woman, particularly just a woman in general, but a woman of color, studying accounting in a time period where accounting was really deemed more for the gender or the male gender to really kind of build their career on. So I'd love to hear about some of your first opportunities as a woman of color, that you were breaking barriers, and I know you did. Just kind of walk us through what some of those experiences are like.
Well, the first one that comes to mind is I really goes back to as a woman of color in male-oriented environment, I guess you could say, I worked as I navigated into the production area of General Motors. So I became the first one, black female that reached the, third from the top level within the organization, within General Motors, GMAD Lead. So I just think back of the days where, you know, you had the general cafeteria, and then you had the cafeteria where all the, I guess, all the managers, you know, went to, which is a small dining room, you know, but, you know, kind of cozy for managers. And then, just to start being able to navigate or being able to go to that area or to go to that cafeteria with the, you know, other top business leaders, I think. And I was the only woman, in not only woman, but woman of color in that, at that level at that time. And then I think about particularly working with the city of Kansas City as a woman of color, and really as a woman first. I was the first assistant director female in the water department. So that reminds me of Women's First. And we used to have a program at the city called Women's First or Woman's First. So just kind of takes me back.
Breaking some great barriers. It's so powerful. What do you like most, and you've shared some of this, about being an AKA?
Oh, just a sisterhood. I just love, yeah. And you know, I came from a family that had 8 brothers and 3, and only 3, 8 boys and only 3 girls growing up. So it was always just a small core against the, but then that also gave me the opportunity to, not growing up with brothers, I worked well with, you know, with the male gender. So never had a problem, mm-hmm. always was able to.
It's kind of that preparation for breaking those barriers.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for SOARs starting out in Alpha Kappa Alpha?
It is so, you know, we've come a long, long ways. But some of the basic, some of the basic things that you look for and that you fall back on and that you establish along the way is that, you know, your integrity, you hold a high standard. You want to, you know, and that's things that you know, that goes across, you know, across the miles, across the years. And so just holding a high standard of sisterhood, of womanhood, of doing what you can do to advance your organization, advance any organization that you are affiliated with. But it just goes back to that you know, the holding those high moral standards, and just you can almost say you can tell, and you can't really, but you can tell an AKA woman by the standards that she holds, by the way that she carries herself, you know, even by how she holds her head. But yeah.
Excellent. What do you want, not only SOARS, but communities that you've touched to remember about you? What is the legacy you hope that people will share?
Is that I was always able to bring people together when it was in crunch times and in serious times, or just in jovial times. You know, I just want to be, you know, remembered as being able to work across the lines to make sure that you can, whatever areas or whatever obstacles or whatever challenges you face, that you can find a common thread to work with, and that you can make and reach whatever goals that you are tasked with making or that you set out to make.
That's beautiful. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
You know, I cannot believe that sitting here today, it's been 50 years. It's you know, where did the time go? But you know, when you think back how you were, you know, you just lived and you did and you do, and so you look around and it's 50 years later. So it's just amazing. But it has been a journey that I have enjoyed. Would not change anything. Would not give anything for the journey that I've traveled.
Well, it's been a joy and an honor. I was so excited to get to interview today. Thank you, Mabel Remy Moore, for sharing your story. This concludes the recording on the date of June the 18th, 2022, at the Midwest Genealogy Center.